It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 8:07 on a Saturday morning, still 66 degrees outside. In fact, I hesitate to say this, it's 66.6 degrees outside. The mark of the devil on a Saturday morning. Be careful in your garden today. I am here to help you be more successful in your garden than you ever dreamed. All you have to do is ask the questions about the places that you have failed, and I will try to guide you through the short and narrow straits into the Bay of Happiness. Sort of weird metaphor right there, but I'll try to make you a little bit happier in your landscape with your lawn, your trees, your flowers, your shrubs, your houseplants, organically, synthetically. I don't really care. 404-872-0750. Coming up in the next half hour, Sherry wants to know about her hyacinth seed pods. Joe has white circular spots on his plants. Zoysia, when should he let it go to seed? Barbara, she's scared she might have overfed her fescue. Let's let Ben come in first, though. Ben's out in Jefferson, Georgia, and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Ben, good morning.
Good morning, Walter. I haven't listened to your previous caller about the Bradford pears.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to get my question answered by calling or contacting the arborist. Sure. But as far as failure goes, I've got a cryptomeria that someone planted just a little too close to the edge of the house.
Got it.
And it's grown tall and straight and into the gutter,
yeah,
up at the top, and I didn't realize that it was so thick. It's the trunk has actually become one with the gutter up about 18 feet, and
wow.
I'm going to have to cut it out of there, and I don't know if the tree can be saved, but the moral of the story is be careful when you plant. Don't fail and get a beautiful tree, and then all of a sudden figure out it got needed to be about 6 inches over.
I have a terrific...
So I'll call the arborist people.
Yeah, get them out there. You need them. You cannot save the cryptomeria, Ben. It's just too close to the house. It's always going to want to be bigger even than it is right now. If you think it's tall now, wait till it gets mature and it's 40, 50 feet high and 20 feet wide, and that'll really eat your house up.
Well, you know, and you're right. I was... we're working at Emory University Hospital, and there's a guy we work with that just... It's amazing how wise he is about plants. And one day I was walking with him. I said, "Hey, man, what kind of tree is that right there?" He said, "That's a cryptomeria, and it's huge."
Yeah.
Walter, you're right. It is huge. So I'm going to lose this one.
Yeah. They look so cute in a gallon pot, a cryptomeria. I mean, it's just as nice as it can be. And you maybe don't pay that much attention to the label, and you plant it next to the house, and pretty soon it's in the gutter and above the chimney and around. There we go. You lose those years of growth. And plant something more appropriate. Plant a arborvitae, but read the label next time, and you know that now, Ben.
That's right. All right.
All right.
Thanks,
good luck with it, Ben. Thanks for calling. Great decision. I think you'll be proud of yourself for making the decision to let the cryptomeria go. Joe is up in Milner, Georgia, and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
Oh, just out in the yard getting ready to get started.
Yeah, the sun's been up, or at least it's gotten light for the past 2 hours. You're just getting started now. I think you're a little late, Joe.
Late breakfast.
That's important. You've got to start the day the right way.
That's right.
All right. What are you planting today?
Pecan trees. Not sure how old they are. They're pretty mature. They got little white spots on the leaves. I was looking at them this morning, and I was just wondering if that's something I need to be concerned with right now or what might be going on.
Are the white spots at all swollen and sort of like a wart almost?
There's some places I was noticing look like there might have been some, like you described, like a wart here and there, too, maybe. But I know I can see the little circles on the leaves.
Tell you what, I will make a theory. I'll make a guess as to what you have because it's so common on pecan leaves. And let me start by saying it won't kill the pecan tree. So no big deal here so far, if I'm correct. There is a... it's not a mite. It's kind of a little winged insect called a phylloxera. That's a big name, I know. Phylloxera.
Right.
And pecan phylloxera lays eggs on the leaves in the spring and makes the tissue of the leaf grow up around it so the babies can live inside there, protected from everybody who would want to kill them. And then they hatch out and go infect other pecans. But the good news is they don't really affect much pecan growth or much pecan production or anything like that. The leaves stay on the tree until very late in the season. So if you want to go look up pecan phylloxera, I've got pictures on my website. It's phylloxera, phylloxera. You can see if it looks similar to that. And again, you don't need necessarily to control them. If you just want to, insecticide, spray it as high as you can in the tree is about the best you can accomplish.
All right. That sounds good. I'll look it up, see what I can figure out.
Yeah, pecan phylloxera, PH.
Phylloxera.
Phylloxera, yeah. That's what I think
All
it
right.
is.
All right. I'll look at it and see what we come up with.
All right, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
It's 12 minutes past the hour, and that gives John in Smyrna his chance to join us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning, Walter. I want to have a pretty yard.
All right. Good goal. Excellent goal.
Now, this is my second year for having zoysia sod. It's growing now, and I've noticed I mowed it, and now it looks like there's like little seed pods.
Yeah.
Should I let it go to seed?
If you're thinking there's some advantage to letting it go to seed, then the answer is no.
Okay.
Zoysia seed is famously infertile.
Okay.
There's only one right now that I'm aware of. Zenith zoysia has been hybridized and selected such that it has fertile seed. And so if you had Zenith zoysia, maybe you should let it go to seed. But unless you're sure that's what you have, the seed heads, seed pods are infertile and no real reason to let them stay on the plant.
Okay, great. One other question. I've dug up weeds out of it, and now there's little holes. I see neighbors putting sand in their yard, mm-hmm. and there's sod. Should I do that?
What would be better is to mix sand about 50-50 with some topsoil or maybe an extra little pile of dirt you have somewhere in the backyard or some of the planting soil maybe you get from Pike. Either way, but mix it up with sand and pack that into the hole, and then the zoysia grows into that a little more readily than it will into plain sand.
Okay, great. All righty, thank you very much.
Great talking to you. Thanks for calling, John. By the way, I had a great time. Speaking of golf courses, I guess I'm thinking about this. I had a great time last week at my three places that we attended, or that I was doing public appearances at last Saturday. One was the Suwannee Pike Nursery. That was a fabulous crowd there. Lots of great people and interesting questions during the breaks. And then we went buckety-buckety-buckety down to Conyers out east of Atlanta to the East Metro Home and Garden Expo and spoke to a bunch of gardeners there, about 100 and some odd, I guess, that were there, the East Metro folks, and they were fun to talk to as well. And then went la-la-la-la-la driving again out to Greensboro, to Lake Oconee, to the Del Webb Lake Oconee site. Had another crowd of 100 and some odd people to talk gardening to with them, and it was beautiful. Man, Del Webb, woo, they spend some money out there, and the houses themselves are very, very nice and well worth your consideration if you're an active adult, 55 and better. Next Saturday, I'll be at Sun City Griffin, which is part of the same company holding complex, active adult community, but Sun City Griffin, I'll be down there. For details of where I'll be and what I'm going to be doing, go to my website, walterreeves.com, and down on the right-hand side, it says, Where's Walter? Which somehow I refer to sometimes for myself to find out where I'm going to be, but I will be at Sun City Peachtree next Saturday. Sherry is in Kingston, Georgia, and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Sherry, good morning.
Good morning.
What you got?
After the hyacinth has bloomed,
yes,
you got these little marble-looking things on the side of the stalk. Mm-hmm. Could those be new bulbs?
Congratulations, you're a parent, Sherry. You have new hyacinth babies. You got seeds in there, not bulbs, but seeds that are inside those bulby, marbly-looking things there. Yeah, there's seeds inside there.
So what do I do with them?
Well, we hang on for a while, because until they turn brown and sort of crackly on the outside, their seeds will not be mature enough for you to collect them. But just keep your eye on it. About every week, go out and look at your hyacinths and look at those little bulbs. It's not a bad idea, by the way, to protect them a little bit. What would be an easy way to keep the squirrels from eating them, because other creatures like those seeds to eat. if you just happen to have a little piece of screen wire that you could use a rubber band to make a bag or some way of keeping, even chicken wire, just something that keeps the squirrels off of those seed pods. Try to do that. If you can't, you can't. Maybe you can put a wire basket. Maybe have an old wire basket from a hanging basket that's just wire ribs, and you can put that over your hyacinths maybe to keep the squirrels out and deter them in some way. Do the best you can. All right, but wait until the seed pods are turned brown, and then you can take them off the plant and crumble it up in your hands, and you'll see several little black seeds come out, and they can be planted, and within, I don't know, 3 years or so, it'll be big enough to flower.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Keep the squirrelies away, though. That's important. We don't want to keep those squirrels away because they are all over the place right now, and if they're looking at my tomatoes, they can just look in another direction. Because I will take you on a vacation in my little live trap before your little eyes can uncross. It's 8:17. With my squirrel threats right here, it's 8:17. We'll be back after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves, the lawn and garden advice you need.
A quick weather update while you're thinking about being a rock and roll star. Brought to you by Ackerman Security. It's going to be 50-50 today, pretty much, for rain or no rain. Partly cloudy, most of the day. Highs today in the mid-80s. Lows overnight dropping down into the low 60s. Your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And let's give away the weekend prize pack. Ashley Faskin will think of a number somewhere between 2 and 7 to determine who wins a pair of tickets to see Kenny Rogers in concert June the 19th at Chastain Park Amphitheater, produced by Live Nation, plus 4 passes to the advanced screening of Money Monster on May 11th, the Regal Atlantic Station. That could be fun.
That's a good time right there. George Clooney and Julia Roberts, I think.
Are you kidding? I love George Clooney. Mm-hmm. I love Julia Roberts.
I think it looks like a good one.
All right. Money Monster, 4 passes to see that as well. Which caller wins our prize?
Caller 4 will enjoy those things.
All right. Caller number 4 to our contest line, 404-741-0750. Barbara is in Snellville, Georgia, and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Barb, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking the call. I've got fescue. I have a young helper who fertilized my entire yard, but one whole area apparently got overfed, and it's quite brown. My question is, you know, obviously I could dig it all up and start again, but down at the roots there are shoots of green, and I'm just wondering if I should be patient and see if it will bring itself back. It's a small area, but it was a really pretty area, and it's not pretty right now.
So in the 6 o'clock hour this morning, I had another guy who sprayed Roundup all over his Bermuda lawn, and I'm going to give you the same advice I gave him, which is time will tell, and you never know quite how much damage has been done until probably midsummer. And if all the fescue in that area is dead brown still, then okay, we're going to have to replant. But if somehow it wasn't quite as bad as you think, it was sort of burned, but maybe some little sprigs have survived, then possibly the fescue will still come back, and then we'll be celebrating that. How much fescue? How much fertilizer was put on the fescue, do you think, Barb?
Well, that's the problem. He filled up the container, did the front yard, which is huge.
Yeah.
No problem there. Came around to the back and filled it up again. And I'm not sure because I was out the front working on some things, and he was my helper. So I'm not really sure, but I do know that I've tried watering it every day.
Yes.
If there's any chance that there's anything still growing there, that it will come back, because it was beautiful and now it's not.
Talk to me in the first week of June and we'll see what we think.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Walter.
It's your bet. Thanks for calling, Barbara. It's 8:27 on a Saturday morning. We'll be back to more Lawn and Garden after news.
For all the things my eyes have seen, the best by far is you. If I could fly, then I would know.
up above and down below. I keep you safe, I keep you dry. Don't be afraid, Cecilia, I'm the satellite and you're the sky.
It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 8:36. This is the last half hour of Lawn and Garden. If you got a garden question, better get it in now. 404-872-0750. We've got so much to talk about and so little time to talk about it in. One of the things to remind you of is that I talked to my tour guide company yesterday to ask how many slots are still left for our tour of the Pacific Northwest Gardens. They said, Walter, we got four. So if you have any interest in going with me and a group of other enthusiastic, friendly, funny, curious gardeners and their spouses, then you need to come to my website right there on the first page. It has the details of our Pacific Northwest tour. We're going to Bouchard Gardens. We're going to the Olympic Peninsula. We're going to Pike Market in Seattle. We're going to Victoria, British Columbia, just all over the Pacific Northwest that we think will be pretty and fun. We get to see Dan Hinckley, the big plant explorer, and his big garden, Heronswood. So it's going to be a bunch of fun. And that all comes in July of this year. We've got details there, but right now only four slots left. And by the way, you can put your deposit down, and it's always a good idea, I think, to buy trip insurance in case something happens, so they can tell you about that as well. But the trip to the Pacific Northwest, four slots left, get them while they're hot. And speaking of hot, let's talk to our friend Mickey Gasaway from Pike Nursery. Mickey's on the line. Hey, good morning, Mickey.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fabulous.
Like y'all are going to have fun on your trip.
It's going to be fun. Have you been there before, Mickey?
No, I've never been. Stan's been. I've never been.
It is a remarkable part of the United States.
I've heard. It's just wonderful.
We are lucky to live in a country that you can go in different directions and see different things. I mean, this is a literal rainforest on our northwest coast where
it's hard to believe,
moss hanging down out of the trees and the pretty flowers and the Bouchard Gardens. Man, oh man, is it a great place to go to.
Yeah, I was looking at a map one time and it showed that as a rainforest. And I thought, how can that be far north?
Yeah, but it's all part of the way the ocean currents go up through there.
Very nice. Y'all have fun. Today
we got the big decision of you've already made the decision, what's going to be our Pike pick of the weekend. So what is it? Sun patients.
And they are great, let me tell you.
Now, what is the difference between a sun patient and an impatient and a New Guinea impatient? What's the
deal? Sun patients are more closely related to New Guinea impatients. They're hard to tell the difference, but they're supposed to stand up to the sun, but they get huge stalks on them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very, very sturdy, and they get big if they're in the sun. But like New Guinea impatients, they have to have lots of water.
And so you water them regularly during the week, I guess.
And they will go in full blazing sun as long as you can keep them watered.
They
wilt down.
They don't get the downy mildew, do they?
No, they don't get downy mildew at all.
Awesome.
Which is great.
What color are the leaves and the flowers on the sun patients, Mickey?
What about them?
What color are the leaves and
all
the flowers?
Leaves, there are some that are real bright green, and some of them are dark. They're almost like they're purple.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really pretty. We had a bright light pink one with the dark leaves, and that was really pretty.
Wow.
And then all of them come in the green leaves, too, the oranges and the reds and the pinks and the fuchsias and the purples, and all the colors come in there. In fact, I've got some in my yard. I'm using fuchsia this year and everything. So
this sounds like the kind of environment where you would dig a hole and put lots of organic matter in there to hold moisture so they don't get dried out in the summer.
That's right. And I like them better in the ground, but if you've got a big pot, you can grow them in pots and they do fine,
sure,
but it's got to be a big pot or you're not going to be able to keep them watered.
Awesome. So sun patients, 20% off every Pike Nursery location around Atlanta. Just go to the cashier and say, this is Mickey and Walter's Pike Pick of the Weekend. 20% off. Come on down. Get your sun patients there. What about classes?
Today we've got a class on growing edibles in containers or in raised beds.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be fun.
So it starts at 9 o'clock, so you need to get in the car and ride, but
yeah.
You can go there. And I went by, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago now that I had a studio broadcast. I went at one of the Pike stores, and I went by the Toco Hill store, and they were doing the class on azaleas or whatever it was there. And there were 15 people all sitting down and just rapt with attention at the Pike professional who's teaching the class on that. And I thought, this is such a great idea. There's comfortable seats.
So much fun.
You get knowledge from somebody who knows what they're talking about. At 9 o'clock today, you learn about containers and vegetable gardening, things like that. If you have questions about that, it wouldn't make me sad at all to run by your Pike nursery and sit that class today, because I'm sure somebody there will be glad to teach you the basics of container gardening and edibles and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
All right. So, Mickey, if we were to look and see and try to find where the location of Pike Nursery locations are, where would we look?
At PikeNursery.com.
Of course. Mickey, it's wonderful talking to you again.
You have a great day.
You too, Mickey. We'll see you soon.
All right. Bye.
404-872-0750 takes you in to get Mickey out. We got Greg in Dallas, Georgia, who joins us. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Walter. How are you?
I'm just great. How can I help, Greg?
I've got a yard full of irises, and it's my favorite flower.
Awesome.
And I don't split them up like every other year like I should. And I seem to be getting more and more white ones, or is that my imagination?
It's not your imagination. It happens. For reasons yet to be completely explained, although there are theories that say the reason irises turn from the normal reds and purples and blues and things like that to mostly predominantly white. Some say it's simply because the white form is more vigorous than the others, and it outcompetes the blues and the other colors and just becomes the dominant color in an iris bed. And that explains, I guess, most of it for me. And there are other people who say, no, they're not. I know where my irises are, and these just sort of changed overnight. It wasn't like one overran the other. The seeds that came and reverted back to the white.
Right, right.
It happens. That's the way it is, Greg.
Gotcha. And they're beautiful, too. But yeah. I was just wondering if it was my imagination or not. Walter, I appreciate your show so much, and thank you for taking my call.
Greg, I will tell you what the person particularly who did not like the white irises, what they did was when they were blooming, they took a piece of red ribbon and tied it around the base of the stem. And they didn't particularly want to do the work right then during the summertime. And so they just marked the stems that were white. And in this fall, when they wanted to get out and do a little garden work, they dug up all those white iris rhizomes and threw them away because they wanted their blues and their others to dominate. So they took the white ones they'd marked, threw them away, end of story. So that's
An excellent idea. At least I could move them somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
Flower bed. Thank you so much, Walter.
You
have
a
great day.
Thanks for calling. We got Marilyn in line. Marilyn comes to us from Mapleton and joins us online.
Hi, Walter.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hey, listen, I've got four-leaf clover all over my yard.
Mm-hmm.
It's just everywhere. All of a sudden, in the last year, it has just gone gangbusters. What do I do? Do I have to reseed the whole thing?
There are several listeners right this minute who are saying, count your lucky stars. The clover is fertilizing your grass. The clover is a nice green thing, and maybe you shouldn't control it at all. Do you really feel like you
Is that what flowers, those little white flowers everywhere?
Yeah, sure, little white flowers. The only drawback, I think, to the white clover is that, boy, if you walk barefooted out there, you're going to get stung. A honeybee will be mad at you for stepping on her because clover is so attractive to honeybees. They think the clover nectar is just the greatest in the world. And if you walk around a bunch of them, then you'll inevitably step on one. And
well, I've been trying to pull it up with my hands. And
good luck.
I heard a girl earlier say she dug a trench between her and her neighbor or something.
Yeah.
Is that what you have to do to keep it from spreading?
No, it's seed-borne, and so what you have to do is prevent every bird and chipmunk in the neighborhood from coming to your yard. In other words, it's not practical to do that.
Oh.
If you just feel like you have to control it, and some, as I say don't control it because it feeds, it absorbs nitrogen out of the air for free and puts it in the soil where your grass can get it. If you mow it regularly, you won't see too much of the white flowers. So that is one option. Don't forget that. But the other option is to, number one, make sure you're culturing your grass itself so it competes with the clover pretty well to control it. Number two, to remember that the clover disappears in midsummer when it gets hot, so you don't have to see it all year long. And number three, if you feel like you need to control it with a chemical, either the Ortho Weed Be Gone Max or the Bonide Bonide Ultra will do a great job for pike, or the Bayer season-long weed control. All three of those do a great
job. Well, now, it won't kill your grass.
Nope. If you follow the label directions.
Okay.
Yeah, read the directions.
And, okay. Well, thank you.
So you can do it. You make your choice, and don't walk barefooted on that white clover.
Okay, I won't.
All right.
Thank you.
Sure, Marilyn. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling. We got Brandon. Brandon comes to us from Gainesville up in the wilds of Hall County. Brandon, hey, good morning.
Morning. I've got holly bushes, and I've got a couple other bushes around my house that have it's like a black sort of film on all the leaves.
Sure.
It looks sort of like a soot, and it's making a couple of my bushes not really, they usually get, I don't know, really thick, and they're not really doing anything this year.
Don't beat around the bush. It makes them look ugly. That black stuff makes them look ugly and thin. No, they don't like that. There is somewhere, not necessarily on the holly bush, but somewhere around the holly bush, there is a sucking insect. And the sucking insect, like a scale or white flies, I guess, is a possibility, but mostly it's scales that are on aphids even, can be on trees or shrubs or the top of your holly bush maybe. But they suck sap. They excrete what they can't digest. That excreted honeydew gets all over the leaves below, and sooty mold grows on the honeydew. That's what you're seeing, the sooty stuff on the leaves. So the key is really figuring out what sucking insect is around, controlling it. Sooty mold goes away.
Oh, all righty then.
All right, so here's your homework.
Okay.
How tall is the holly, Brandon?
It's about 5 feet tall.
Go carefully and just look in the upper leaves and see if you see any white things growing underneath the leaf. That would be scale. And then if that doesn't seem to be the case, look around and see. You may have to look up online the leaf form of a hackberry. But hackberries are very common in Georgia, and hackberries get an aphid that is famous for excreting honeydew everywhere underneath the hackberry. And if you had a hackberry tree nearby, or even with the wind blowing the honeydew from the hackberry aphids over to your holly bush, that would explain that, and you get to go and control the aphids on the hackberry. But somewhere, somehow, there is a sucking insect that needs to be controlled.
All right, thank you.
All right, Brandon. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
It's 8:47. You're listening to Lawn and Garden.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellis weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves, the lawn and garden advice you need.
And a quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Bottom line, mostly cloudy all day long. 40% chance of thunder showers, maybe 50% in some places. Highs in the mid-80s, so that's pretty nice. The evening rains may continue this afternoon and evening. Overnight lows dropping down into the low 60s. Atlanta's most accurate and dependable forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And besides going to Sun City Griffin next week, Sun City Peachtree, I should say, down next to Griffin, I'll have Ashton Ritchie will be here on the show with me from the Scotts Company. Ashton and I make it a yearly tradition to celebrate World Naked Gardening Day, which is next Saturday, the first Saturday in May. All over the world, gardening enthusiasts celebrate World Naked Gardening Day, and we plan to celebrate that right here in the studio, and I will be posting some pictures on my website. I have taken pictures. I celebrate a little early this year, and so I've had some pictures taken of myself doing a little naked gardening in the backyard. Backyard, not front yard. Thank you very much. Ashton got his wife Rita to take a picture of him. And so Ashley Frasca is planning on joining us with a little weed of the week working. We might have that. Scott Maxim perhaps is thinking, all right, he's looking at me like maybe not, and he's looking like sexual harassment might be in the future for me. But nonetheless, if you would like to join us next Saturday with Ashton Ritchie, we will be celebrating right here. You can see some details at walterreeves.com. My friend Walter from Atlanta joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Walter, good morning.
Oh, good morning. I want to put some St. Augustine in my front 350-square-foot small grass lawn.
Good deal.
Got a holly tree with lots of shade. My freeze concern is not a lot because we didn't have much of a one last year, but I guess it could be mulched over during a hard freeze.
No, not really. I mean, if you get Raleigh or Mercedes, both of those seem to be perfectly winter hardy in Atlanta.
Mercedes or Raleigh? Now, what can that be had in Atlanta?
Call some of the side stores and find out. I think so. I think so.
Florida Tam, is there flat Florida Tam?
No, Florida Tam is going to be too cold. It'll get hurt by the cold.
What about Palmetto?
Palmetto you probably can find here and probably is going to be winter hardy.
Okay.
I think you'll be fine that way. One of the things to remember, Walter, if you put St. Augustine down, I need to remember this myself, spray for chinch bugs. We do have chinch bugs in Atlanta, and they will eat your St. Augustine up, which is what happened to a little patch of mine last year. So look on my website for the information about chinch bug control and get ahead of them before they get ahead of you. It's 8:57. Dave Baker's here. The Home Fix-It Show is straight ahead, and it's my pleasure and my actual lucky day to be able to work with two professionals like Ashley Frass of Screening Calls and Scott Maxson choosing our music and keeping us online and happy every Saturday morning. If you didn't get your question answered, you go to my website, walterreeves.com. You can follow me on Twitter, on Pinterest, on Facebook. You can subscribe to our free bi-weekly email there as well. All these questions and answers, all these questions, sometimes there's answers and sometimes they're not. We'll see you right here next Saturday morning for another edition of Lawn and Garden.